This is Passing Judgment, a podcast about the law and how it affects you. I'm your host, Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Think of me as your personal law professor as we navigate the big legal questions of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers.
Hey everybody, it's Jessica, and there's a lot going on in our country right now, both politically and legally. I want to stick to the law for this podcast, and I want to talk to you about a big issue that could affect our entire economy. Right now, we're dealing with a showdown over the Fed, essentially our central bank and its independence and presidential power. And specifically, I'm talking about the attempted firing of Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook. The big question here is whether a president can remove a sitting federal governor and on what grounds. Now, a federal district court judge has essentially said to the Trump administration, not so fast, and has basically ordered Lisa Cook's reinstatement after the Trump administration tried to fire her. An emergency appeal is underway, and I think this could land at the Supreme Court's emergency docket or shadow docket or interim docket, whatever you want to call it, essentially any minute. So I want to unpack the law, the history, the politics, why it matters for you, why it might matter for your mortgage, your job, and the broader economy. So let's get started. Number one, what happened? Well, in late August, August 25th, the Trump administration tried to remove Governor Lisa Cook from the Federal Reserve Board. And they cited alleged mortgage fraud-related misconduct that predated her 2022 confirmation. So we're talking about conduct that happened before she became a governor for the Fed. Cook denies the allegations. No charges have been filed. And this would be the first removal of a Fed governor in the institution's, I think, 100 plus year history, as far as I can see. Now, on September 9th, a district court judge, Judge Cobb, issued a detailed opinion and she granted Cook a preliminary injunction. Again, she's functionally reinstating Cook while the case proceeds. I'm going to say more about the case as we move on, but essentially what the court did is look at a statute, the Federal Reserve Act, and look at when it allows governors to be removed. And what the statute, the Federal Reserve Act, says is that governors can be removed for cause. Now, the question is basically, does that mean just based on activities that happen while this person is in office? And who gets to decide? And what due process is somebody entitled before they are removed? So the administration lost in the trial court. They're now asking the DC Circuit for emergency relief, letting the removal of Cook take effect before there's a meeting of the Fed next week. And that meeting will occur in mid-September. Now, this is where we are. It's a live fight over whether Lisa Cook can vote at the upcoming meeting, and beyond that, precedent that could shape the Fed and its insulation from politics. So now let's get to the legal framework. Again, let's go back to that statute. The Federal Reserve Act, as I mentioned, says the president can remove members of the Board of Governors, quote, for cause. Now, Congress did this deliberately. They deliberately designed the Fed to be insulated, to guard monetary policy from short-term political pressure. This is why there are staggered terms. This is why the Fed is a bipartisan body, and this is why there is the for-cause removal requirement. As I said, we're fighting about what for-cause means. Again, the district court judge here, Judge Cobb, concluded that for-cause in the context of this statute is about whether or not a board governor faithfully and effectively carried out their duties in office, not about alleged private conduct that might have occurred years earlier or even months earlier. Now, one really important note here, Judge Cobb note that the federal government, the Trump administration, is not arguing that the Fed's removal protection is unconstitutional, meaning they're not arguing that the president has the power to fire somebody without cause in this context. Instead, the fight is about statutory interpretation and, once again, about what counts as cause and whether courts can even review that question. Now, the district court judge answered both. Yes, we can review because the Trump administration says if we determine that cause is there, judges can't second guess. The district court judge disagreed. She said we can second guess. And she said no, that the asserted grounds here, the mortgage fraud, the alleged mortgage fraud that occurred months before, years before Lisa Cook was in office, that that doesn't qualify. There's also a due process piece. And the question here is basically whether or not Lisa Cook was entitled to some notice and opportunity to respond before she was fired. Now, Judge Cobb found that Cook was likely to succeed on her claim that her due process rights were violated. Next, I just want to highlight what the parties' arguments are, something we've talked about, but just want to highlight it again. So the administration here has appealed the district court's decision. And again, the district court said they think Lisa Cook is likely to succeed and essentially ordered her reinstatement. The Trump administration has run to the DC circuit and asked for them to stay that particular decision. And if they don't get a favorable ruling in the DC circuit, I think they will go straight to the Supreme Court. And again, the Trump administration is arguing that the president has to be able to remove an officer for serious alleged misconduct. And again, that the court shouldn't second guess the cause determination. They also argue that for-cause standard is not limited to on-the-job performance, and it can include activities that predate someone's time on the job. We already talked about that before, but I'm highlighting it here. And once again, Cook's response. She says the removal was unlawful because for-cause means some sort of dereliction or malfeasance in office. And again, she says there's no wrongdoing at any time. She also argues that when it comes to her due process rights, that because she was not given notice or an opportunity to be heard, that those rights were violated. So what happens next? Again, the administration has asked the DC Circuit for emergency relief. They want them to lift that injunction before the next Board of Governor meeting next week. If a panel denies that, the government, again, can then rush to the Supreme Court for a stay of the district court's decision. Now, justices, if this gets to the Supreme Court, justices on the Supreme Court basically ask themselves two questions. One, is the government likely to win on the merits, meaning who's more likely to succeed when the case actually plays out? And two, do the equities and public interest favor emergency relief, favor immediate relief? So we should, I think, expect that this case gets to the Supreme Court's emergency docket within the next few days. Here's something else I want to highlight. Why is the Fed different? Congress designed the Fed so that monetary policy wouldn't basically whipsaw with each election. Governors serve, as I said, these long staggered terms, and presidents can't simply replace them at will, and removal is limited to, as we've been talking about, this for-cause language. This is not, of course, to say that the Fed is unaccountable. There is oversight, there are transparency reports, and the members of the board do have to go through the appointment process. But the structure resists direct presidential control of votes. And the Supreme Court has described the Fed as, quote, uniquely structured and quasi-private in some respects. And that's what, in the Supreme Court's view, I think justifies reading that for-cause requirement, justifies why, when it comes to other agencies, maybe the president should be able to fire members at will, but that the Fed is different and the president should only be able to fire members for cause. Now, why should we care? Well, we should care, of course, legally, because we're talking about the power of the executive. but also practically, because one vote on the Fed can sway interest rate policy, financial conditions, and employment. Now, we know that the committee is potentially weighing a rate cut, and that's part of the reason why we're having this accelerated conversation, why we're having this conversation with that big meeting looming, and why the Trump administration is asking for emergency relief in this case. So what are we looking to? Well, we're looking to, I think, three likely scenarios. One is that the DC Circuit or the Supreme Court grants the Trump administration emergency relief. And that means that Lisa Cook is removed while the case plays out. Another is that the DC Circuit and the Supreme Court deny emergency relief, and that means that Cook remains in place, at least while the case plays out. And then the third is that maybe there's this kind of procedural off-ramp where the DC Circuit or the Supreme Court says that more process is required. And again, we just talked about due process. This would avoid a broad merits ruling for now. So, if and when the Supreme Court actually takes this case up on the merits, here's what I want us to think about. One, what does that four-cause standard actually require? Two, can there be judicial review of presidential cause findings? And three, more on what level of process is required for these types of firings. I think and hope that this brings you up to date on what I view as a really consequential legal issue. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe, and we'll bring you the latest on this case and many others as they develop.